Welcome to This Business of Music and Poetry podcast, where the life of the creative meets the real world. I'm Michael Amade, host of World Poetry Open Mic and The Michael Amade Show, author of more books than I should mention, musician, poet, and above all, creative entrepreneur. My collaborator and conspirator in this project is Clifford Brooks, the founder of the Southern Collective Experience, poet, and author of The Draw of Broken Eyes and Whirling Metaphysics, Exiles of Eden, and Athena Departs, The Gospel of a Man Apart. He does so many other things as well. In this episode, we're delighted to sit down with Luke Johnson, lifelong academic and educator. He holds a BA in biology and philosophy, an MA in philosophy and theology and cognitive science from NYU, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of Georgia. He's the creator and founder of Noetic, which aims to create an expansive audio lecture library on the great and sometimes neglected works of philosophy. His creativity, passion for his mission, and dedication to seeing it through is greatly inspiring, as is his vision for the future of academia. Without any further ado, here's our interview with Luke Johnson. All right, here we are. I'm here with Cliff Brooks and our guest, Luke Johnson. Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Cliff, I know that you have kind of a relationship, a background with Luke, and while we've been talking before and I kind of have a good idea of what Luke does, I think it'd be best if you kind of start this conversation off and I'll jump in a little bit later as needed, okay?
All right, man. Luke Johnson and I met 3 or 4 years ago online in regards to his program Noetic. It's a learning platform that kind of raises the bar for social media and uses that conduit to introduce those who may be very familiar, a little familiar, or not familiar at all with a various range of topics and classes and subjects. And when we were thinking about who to bring on to this show, especially focusing in on the creation and the liberal arts edge of things as far as the business and education, I feel kind of silly for not realizing that I had Luke in my arsenal to be, you know, right off the bat. So I reached out to Luke a couple of days ago to fill the spot and was thrilled to death that he was actually able to get on board with us. Luke, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, my friends. Pretty exhausted, but happy to be chatting with you. I was saying before the show got started, I don't get an opportunity to really articulate and step back and think contemplatively about the project that I'm doing just because I'm so busy. I feel like I'm drowning all the time. So this conversation is a bit of an exercise in evaluation of the project and myself. So I'm really thinking off the top of my head here. I have no notes in front of me. I
prepared. Well, let's begin at the beginning. Tell us about you and how you got started, where you were born, how you grew up, what you're passionate about, and what brought you to this point in history.
That's an interesting question. I sort of lost myself in this whole project, so I have to get back to me and create a biography for myself. So I was born outside of Washington, D.C., somewhere later in high school, I sort of noticed that I had a proclivity for intellectual conversation and discussion. There was some familial pressure to go into the sciences. So when I started college at the University of Richmond, I started out as a biology major. But then I got introduced to philosophy through, Friedrich Nietzsche. And Nietzsche's poetical writing style was, I guess, what entranced me to go down that road. And I ended up finishing a little bit early with a double major in biology and philosophy and also doing music simultaneously. Music was a big part of my life for about 20, 25 years. So that's going to figure into this narrative arch that I'm telling you here, too. Didn't have a lot of answers about what I wanted to do with my life. I definitely knew I wanted to be a rock star. So when I went to NYU and did a integrative master's in cognitive science and philosophy and theology in about 2003, and then realized I wanted to do my PhD in philosophy still while trying to chase those rock star dreams, and eventually found myself down in a PhD program in Athens, Georgia, at the University of Georgia. And I did a dissertation on Soren Kierkegaard. So one sort of existentialist ultimately led me to what I did my doctoral dissertation on, although in between I didn't do a lot of existentialism. I kind of came full circle, but with a becoming, I guess I came out of it a professing Christian, which is not what a lot of people do.
that's a road that people don't expect. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So that's kind of, so, and then how I got into Noetic was kind of a combination of, I saw there was a lot of red tape, bureaucracy within academia. I saw all these journals, all these dissertations that people spent their blood, sweat, and tears putting together, and no one was reading, or they had a limited reach. And I thought, you know, we could take technology and translate that into audio to disseminate throughout the entire world to the developing countries that are coming online. And I think that really appealed to like the music aspect of me. It was very easy for me to shut off music producer Luke and turn on oral learner or audio learner Luke. So I think that's how I made the transition of that. And the other part of it was a tremendous dissatisfaction with the current state of social media. I couldn't believe how it was bringing out the most base and vapid aspects of people. And I just thought it was possible if we married the liberal arts with social media, we could really have an opportunity to create a more enlightened form of connectivity. We could start to build relationships over ideas rather than who you voted for or what kind of pizza you like or something like that. Like, you know, we could talk about Aristotle and Locke and the esoteric and history and things of that nature rather than the trivialities of day-to-day life. Is that a good enough answer?
Oh my God, yes. I'm thinking like where the jumping point from here tell folks what noetic means. What noetic means, the soul there.
Oh, you know, it's fascinating to me because my understanding of the meaning of the name has actually evolved over time. So it was an accidental choice, but it wasn't my first choice for the name of the intelligent social media company. When you're working in startups and techs and stuff like that, if you're going to have a website, you also have to be able to have the same domain in the app store. And I went through about 200 or 300 different permutations of names, and Noetic was the only one that was available in both areas. So by default, it became the one that we used. And the reason why I chose it, and it even made the list initially, is because I think I remember, you know, in like 17th century philosophy, there'd be this idea of there being, in epistemology, there'd be these noetic rays of the mind that apprehended objective reality. I always thought that was kind of interesting. But in Greek, it means pertaining to intellectual activity. That's what it truly translates to in Greek. But in time, what I found out, I was doing some deep research into systematic theology from like the late 19th century. And what I found is that noetic is actually an antiquated term for the period of time in the Bible that corresponds to Noah. So people in the 1700s and 1800s, if they were talking about the noetic epoch of history, everyone understood that that was referring to like the antediluvian age and just after. That term has now fallen out of favor. It's actually interesting. More people probably know the name. A lot of people jumble Noetic, this company that I've started with. There's something similar out in California that's kind of, I don't want to say exactly what it is because I don't want to perjure it, but it's more associated with, it's more associated with maybe the new age. And I'm more interested in the old age, I suppose. But right. If you dig into things, new age and old age are kind of the same if you dig deep enough. But that's I don't know if you want to get into that.
Well, as far as noetic in your incarnation of it, from a business aspect, I want to nail this, because if I get into the esoteric, I will not shut up. So I want to tackle the practical first. When you sat down and you saw social media and you saw what it could be, what were your first steps to put brick and mortar, so to speak, to Noetic as a learning platform, as a presence online and in reality?
Well, I made a lot of missteps. I mean, there's not really a rubric there's not really a plan to figure out how to do this. At first, I sort of saw it as like a personal publishing house where I would be something where I would sell off my own analyses and lectures of texts that I thought were exciting, invigorating, and fundamental to a lively academic experience. And then the feedback I started to get back from that was, it didn't cover enough topics. It was the lecture format was over a lot of people's head and things like that. And people preferred the podcast interview style like we're doing here. It allowed people to grasp things better. But that was proceeding so slowly for me that I kind of got over my ego and realized that there were all these public domain academic materials that were just waiting to be liberated and brought into the audio domain. And that way, if I can make it less about Luke Johnson and more about getting people information that had already been peer reviewed, had already been established. Granted, a lot of this stuff is from before 1923. So it may seem out of date and not in lockstep with where we are as a society today. But that's kind of where I am on that journey right now. And now that we've launched, we've been out for a couple weeks or 2 weeks, I'm just kind of listening back and trying to figure out what do people want. And a lot of the feedback that I'm getting back right now is that history seems to be something that people enjoy listening to the most. It seems to occupy that sweet spot of above talk radio, but below like Aristotelian metaphysics. So I've been doing a lot of intellectual history, a lot of American history, French Revolution. I just finished a module on Hinduism today. So past 3 or 4 days, I've been doing a lot with Hinduism. So world religion and things of that nature.
Now, as far as the course load that people are able to jack into that you have now established, what are the subjects that you have now on Noetic?
Oh, I mean, we have all the ones that I mentioned earlier. A big resource that I spent last summer, it took about 4 or 5 months to do, is there was this primary source called Battles and Leaders of the Civil War, which goes through every single Civil War battle from the perspectives of infantrymen, all the way up to like Robert E. Lee and Appomattox Courthouse.
Yeah.
And so you can go all across the country kind of like with a historical GPS. And because I live in an area where there's a lot of these historical markers. I think you do too. And you're just buzzing by the highway. You don't have time to read it.
You
step out and try to read the marker, you hit by a car. And so I thought it'd be cool, if you had like a little thing to kind of guide you through the landscape. I have a lot of intellectual history stuff. So different worldviews such as Gnosticism, Deism, all sorts of isms. I've got modules on American literature, leading figures, kind of some overview modules on like what the study of philosophy is, the major figureheads of English literature, the major figureheads of 20th century philosophy. I have a course on logic, a course, a general overview course on poetry, a general overview course on theology. I'm very interested in biblical scholarship, so I do a lot on commentaries on the Bible and the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha. I'm very interested in unraveling the mysteries of that. Do you want me to keep going?
This
is great.
No, go.
I have an overview course on aesthetics, on metaphysics, on ethics. See, all these, I tried to create materials that I thought would be very helpful for maybe a student who is coming from maybe an impoverished high school and is trying to like get a leg up. They're their freshman year at the University of Georgia and they're intimidated and scared about how everyone else came from all these fancy like suburban schools or whatever. And they came from some podunk one I'm trying to help them get to the point where they feel comfortable that they can be a leader in the classroom. So that's one of the people that I have in mind when I make these materials. So a lot of this stuff is like general introductory stuff for the humanities. I'm very interested in like intellectual history in regards to math and science and how we got our current modern worldview of our understanding of reality. I think that was I think there are a lot of people asking questions about that. And I think, you know, that's something that's sort of gift wrapped to us. And I think people need to think through it logically. Charles Dickens, Charles Baudelaire, modern philosophy leading figures. I have a special module in the Book of Revelation. Existentialist figures like Sartre, Kierkegaard, Nietzsche. The history of evolution, how that idea came to be through Spencer and Huxley and Darwin. Certain special topics like free will. I mean, I could go on and on, guys. I mean, I've been working on this for like 4 years. So there's a lot of stuff.
And what I love most about talking to you about this is, well, there's several reasons, but what always grabs me, as it does right now, is that you take, and I'm not flattering you, bro, you take these classes and you rattle it off on another list with someone with no passion for any of them, and it sounds like something that no one would want to be a part of, but the passion that you bring to it, and what you touched on earlier, that passion coupled with the true drive of yours to kind of eliminate, if not directly eliminate, the aristocratic air of you don't deserve to learn this unless you are from here or going there, the accessibility of knowledge is really at the forefront of your philosophy personally with Noetic, right?
I truly believe that knowledge has been weaponized. And when knowledge has been weaponized and it's in the hands of an elite, it's very easy for the 99% to be marginalized. And I hate that. I love every single person. I have been given a tremendous opportunity in life to pursue art and to pursue academic studies. And I really just want to kind of turn myself into a vessel and give that back to everyone else who couldn't afford to do the academic studies that I did. You know, a lot of people, they have to go into trades. They have to study electrical engineering. They drop out of college because of some unexpected life event. They get sick or they have a child or something like that, and they don't get to pursue their passions. And I just think that's a total shame. I think about those people and those unfulfilled dreams, and I want to help fulfill them.
The educator part of you, that's more than an arm of your life that I consider the being a teacher. You know, is that something that's always been in you? Like when you look back in the music, that giving educator that you want people to understand, whether it be through music, the different topics you teach, do you find, well, I guess what I'm getting to is, do you believe that there's a divine fire in people who are teachers that kind of pervades all their life?
Wow, that's a massive question. I can't really speak for everyone. And I know there's a lot of burnout amongst teachers, especially in the different teaching environments that they have, you know, and that's part of the reason why I made Noetic. It's not just for students, but for teachers, because I think a lot of teachers feel isolated in the things that they study and that they could use help in assembling lesson plans. So I'm not purely student oriented. I'm also very teacher oriented. I know how difficult it is to put together lectures and seminars. So I wanted to make those resources also available to the people who are supposed to be the experts. As for a divine fire, it's the most important thing in my life is the truth. My heroes are Socrates and Jesus Christ and Kierkegaard. I don't know where it comes from. I talk to people all the time and I ask them if truth is the most important thing in their life. And they tell me, no. I have many, many, many adults tell me, and that's been one of the humbling things about building Noetic is realizing that not everybody is as switched on for truth as I am. Because for me, the mystery, like all these things I was rattling off earlier, if you wring them out, if you really wring them out, like you're going to find like mysteries and secrets to the universe that just don't get the attention and the detail that you would in a normal education. Now, that is a very invigorating process for me, all right? Because I believe that I have been shown some things that not everybody else can see. Now, that puts me, you know, sometimes in a very isolated group. But I truly believe that if you seek, you shall find. Right. I, I, I think, and I'm telling you, if you start to put this massive puzzle together of intellectual history and really get into the details, you're going to come across something that's going to crack open your basic understanding of reality and introduce you into something much, 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 much more mesmerizing. You will pierce the veil, but it's going to require so much labor that most people give up.
Right. Right. And I think honestly that's coming back to the business aspect that we hammer on this show that people seem to gravitate towards, because in the same, not on the same level, but in the same ballpark, I believe, is because it takes an enormous amount of work to get even close to a level of success that can be called success. When you began to build Noetic, as far as the frame of it, when you started to bring on a staff to rein it back to kind of the nuts and bolts brick and mortar aspect of things, what was or is a board vital to the structuring of Noetic, or what are some of the trials and errors you've gone through in organization to get a team building strategy that works for you?
Well, to be honest, leaner and leaner. And I you know, it is a private company and it's a startup. And the reality is it probably has less than a 10% chance of actually being successful, however you define that to be. I mean, that's just how Silicon Valley works. If I am even part of Silicon Valley, I'm not even there. Where I am with Noetic right now is that this is a trial period. I am open to all sorts of possibilities in regards to investors and what those arrangements and things like that would work like, what that would look like. But I think probably the best idea is to make the most with as little as possible and to run very, very slim and lean. But you really shouldn't be taking financial advice from me. Because where I am in the development of Noetic is, you know, like I said, this has been this concept has really only been actual for 2 weeks. So I've been building it for 3.5 years, and this is my first interview about that process. We don't know. I don't know. I'm very removed from the public. I don't know. I love people and I love the public. I don't know if they want this.
Right.
I know I want this, and maybe there is a public that wants this, but maybe it only makes up like 0.5% of the population. I don't know. So we'll see. And we live in an era where the internet is a wonderful free flow of information. But people have so many options. We're going to have to figure out what the blend is in terms of what kind of financial support people want to do for this sort of thing. I have some ideas in mind about how to go forward with that. But really what depends is, anyone who's listening to this, I really need you to just download the Noetic app so I can take those numbers and either justify it to myself or to an investment board so I can hire a staff and do exactly what Cliff is talking about, you know, building an ensemble of people, because I really need to delegate. I haven't had much of a life since I started this thing. And I would, you know, it'd be cool to, like, you know, have a weekend and maybe like go on a date or something. it's been a lonely couple years.
and it's not something I think that people like to talk about, because the word sacrifice sounds so severe, but it's not to put a sad note on it. But like what you're just saying, I mean, the time that you give up, the social aspect of it, when you build something that's gonna have the chance, let's just say that, have the chance to stand on its own, it takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice. And go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even put it into words how much I have. I'm not trying to make anyone feel sorry for me or anything like that. I mean, it's totally my own life and career choice. But if you're going to go this route and try to interject a potentially industry disruptive idea into tech and into education, unless you have just millions of dollars at the outset to surround yourself with people, I mean, be prepared to just go in a closet for a couple of years. I mean, I have a friend who was connected to the guy who invented YouTube, and she told me once that he just like went into a closet for like 2.5 years and no one saw him.
Right.
And that's kind of, you kind of just have to disappear, and it's not glamorous like how they make it out in the movies, you know, like it's not glamorous.
I mean, to me, it seems like that doesn't seem like it seems essential for that removal from society, because the opposite of that is just the fear that you would stay away so long or become so disconnected that your idea wouldn't be valid anymore. But I think that's a smart route to go as far as the removal, because if you keep yourself in the public eye and around people and constantly say, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? You'll never get it off the ground, because you can't find a firm hold on something. And then your vision is ultimately going to be compromised when you're surrounded by people feeding you in on their input, you know?
Yes. It's too many cooks in the kitchen. I have a coder, you know, I have an awesome gentleman who does all the coding for Noetic. He's my only employee. It's just the two of us. So I conceptualize it and develop all the educational content for it, do all the marketing, do everything else. And I just pretty much say, hey, can you do your computer wizardry and make this happen? And the answer is almost always yes. It's been a big learning process for both of us. But we have both been, I think if you were on, you know, if you were here as well, his name is Suni Lyons. I think he would testify that he has been accelerated in his knowledge in his own way.
Right.
And it gets to the point, when you do something like this, you get so accelerated in knowledge, it gets a little hard to start having normal conversations. You get so advanced, and I'm not trying to say this in a braggart way. I'm just letting people know that, you know, the amount of information that's out there, if you really start freebasing it and dedicating yourself to it, at some point, you, even though you're speaking English, you start to break away
right.
from the rest of society. And, you know, that's part of their motivation for why I built Noetic too, because I think a lot of people out there who are really intellectual feel like they're loners. And I thought it would be a cool idea to create a digital place where people who feel like intellectual pariahs or whatever you want to talk, you know, who just don't fit in with the traditional 9-to-5 grind can go and develop those friendships. So, and in some of those instances, they're going to be the people helping with the understanding of concepts. In other circumstances, they're going to be the ones who are going to be learning, and hopefully it kind of grows together. Now, I would like to be able to hire, you know, other PhDs and other narrators and things like that to oversee a little bit of this stuff. But we're going to, you know, either we're going to have to institute a subscription service, or we're going to have to find a real like-minded investor. So if you're listening out there and you have lots of money, let's talk.
Right.
philosophyluke@gmail.com, noetic.online, friend, peer request me. Let's talk.
Well, you know what? I think something that's kind of cool about what you're talking about, it kind of goes in line with something I've seen for a few years, which is, say I go to like a family gathering, right? And you have the older generations who, I remember them having conversations. They were talking about sports. They're talking about whatever. When you talk about people who are suddenly like 30, well, I'd say 40 down to even like 20 years old now, because of podcasts, because of YouTube, whatever, they sit around and they talk about philosophy. I mean, I've literally heard this at places you would never expect. I've seen guys who did nothing but sports all through high school. So they're talking about, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't really buy into this idea of game theory, but I think this is kind of, and we'll just start talking about it. And we all know what we're talking about because we've been spending time trying to learn, and we get interested and start going farther into it. And to me, that's incredibly encouraging. It's like, as this platform for different information. Like you said, there's so much out there, but as it's become available, that's the kind of stuff that a lot of people start reaching out for. And to me, that's exciting. And to me, that actually kind of lends itself to the timeliness of what you're creating as well. I can totally get behind that idea of wanting to allow people the freedom and giving the access to kind of that lifting of the veil or the breaking through the veil that you've discussed.
Well, yeah, that's encouraging to hear. You know, I'm not really in those, you know, I don't get to be a man of the people and actually sure. see, you know, tap into the zeitgeist and what's happening. I recently opened up my Facebook again and I was like, yeesh.
Oh man, you picked the wrong time, man.
But, I frankly, I think it's prophetic. Yeah. I think we live in prophetic times. Knowledge shall increase.
Yes.
To quote a Bible.
that's what, I mean, I want to go on the record, like the spiritual discussion is, this is one of the few places that it is not discouraged. In fact, it always comes back to this, to that point with almost all of our interviews, actually, where there's an I believe part, or, you know, I find serenity here part. And when you talk about, to me, that just kind of juxtaposed in my mind, or maybe it's a car wreck in my mind, where when you talked about getting back on Facebook, you know, again, I'm not trying to get on a high horse either, because it's an invaluable tool in disseminating ideas. I got online and joined it before I was able to afford a website in order to advertise my books and what I was passionate about as far as the art's concerned. What I love about what you're doing with Noetic is that it takes it's the accessibility again. It's on a platform that already everyone is inundated with. But what makes it different is that it has a soul and that it has integrity. And that it has, I believe the infectious nature of it is that, like you were saying, is that there are people who are from all over the world. What Amadei was saying, that you wouldn't say, my God, I didn't know they knew Kant. I didn't know that you would, you know, be interested in where the Pythagorean theorem came from. Or, you know, who was Virginia Woolf and what did she write? But there's, I think, also even more out there who don't know that these things are interesting because they've been delivered in the past in such a stale medium, if at all, in any classroom. And so, again, I'm not trying to sit here and pat you on the back about all this, but, you know, when you made that, oh my God, I'm on Facebook, and wow, I truly believe that with the attention that I do believe, because I've already seen it, what you said earlier about people wanting to hear about history, there's a reason that people are passionate and want to suddenly know, because of the climate, I believe, that we're in, the prophetic nature of what you're doing, that people are passionate about knowing, okay, what's real? What, you know, we fake news, you know? I'm serious. It's just, you know, are they ready for it, you know? But when you, I think now that, I guess what stoked all of this diatribe going on right now in me and this monologue is that people in this time, with it being prophetic, we're, I think, up to our neck in so much fake news and so much doubt and so much fear and so much fragmentation. I believe that what Noetic is doing is tantamount to kind of, maybe in a tumultuous way, bringing about peace, but getting this knowledge, de-weaponizing knowledge, and is critical. In all of this mess I've just spewed out in front of you, do you see Noetic being a remedy to the chaos that we're dealing with and the fake news and the fake fragmentation that we're dealing with?
I'm going to say this again, you know, this whole process has made me a deeply Christian man. And I think I'm allowing myself to be God's instrument. So if he wants to spiritually sort of resolve some of these issues through this opportunity, this creation that I've had the opportunity to do, yeah. Because I think ultimately we're dealing with spiritual issues. I don't think we're dealing with sociological or political issues. I think we're trying to solve them with political and sociological remedies, when really they're fundamentally spiritual questions. But is there going to be like a tab on Noetic that's just going to like hit a hard reset and make everybody love each other? No, because I'm not a propagandist. I'm not interested in brainwashing everybody into a uniform perspective. I will state my own personal views here and encourage people to take Christianity seriously. But they're going to have to come to that conclusion on their own, mainly because that's how true faith happens. I don't know. I think as more people pile into Noetic, I think it could get messy because, you know, the text that I mentioned it earlier, the text that I use right now, all right, everything that I use right now has to be in the public domain. So that those are materials that are from before 1923. A lot of people are going to find those texts to be ridiculously outdated. Other people are going to look at those texts and think, oh my gosh, this guy is resurrecting lost knowledge. And you're going to have people say that some of this information was put together by highly biased individuals with prejudices and racist tendencies and or this or that or patriarchy or whatever else. And you're going to have other people saying, oh, wow, this is something that we've lost and we've rediscovered. And, you know, it hasn't happened yet because Noetic's only been out for a short period of time. But you could have a situation where progressives and traditionalists are fighting on different grounds. You know, maybe not so much over like abortion or whatever the topic du jour is on Facebook, but, you know, over, you know, they may be redebating the Scopes monkey trial or something like
right,
that.
Right.
You know? So I think it's an opportunity to bring out the best in everyone, but I also see that it could lead to some very animated, passionate conversations, and there may be some people that take some low shots there. I hope not. I hope I personally set the atmosphere and the climate for how to treat each other with respect and how we can disagree respectfully. But we shall see. My hope is that Noetic is edifying and intellectual enough that it will filter out all the riffraff, high-minded, low-minded, that it will actually it'll bring everybody in from the different social media platforms, the people that truly want to learn together. But there will still be fights, you know, and that's fine. It's mm-hmm. fine. You know, if we really wanted to, all three of us, I don't, I've just met Amade. Am I saying your name correctly?
You did. Yeah.
And I've known Cliff for a while. I'm sure if like all three of us showed our cards right now, I'm sure the three of us have wildly different views on a whole host of subjects. And it may get very heated if we were to give our honest opinions about those things. And who knows? Who knows how that conversation would go? So yeah. I just hope all I can do is really personally set the example for how to treat each other and hope that that permeates throughout the platform. But it's yet to be tested. We'll see how well that works out.
Well, you know, and one thing I think is really kind of cool is, you know, hearing you when you're, I always kind of refer to it as in the belly of the beast, right? Which is when you're just in super creation mode, your head's down. This is where you feel completely strung out on the, I go through that process when I'm writing a book and finishing a book or finishing an album or something. I just, like, I grow tons of, you know, days of beard growth and I just feel like, you know, it's shut in. And, so when you're talking about that, you're talking to two guys, you know, Cliff and I definitely have felt that kind of thing before. I've definitely shored myself in for long periods of time to do work. I can absolutely respect the fire and the passion it takes to get there. But then when you're in it, it feels, I would imagine, completely exhausting, but you're never going to stop. Like, you keep pushing, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's invigorating. I mean, it's a drug, man. Yeah. It's a drug. This is my drug, you know, as I've never had any issues with like substance abuse or addiction or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to knowledge and yeah. I just like, I can't stop. And when I'm in it, like it's exhilarating, but at the same time, it's wearing out this husk that is encasing my soul. So it's both. It's invigorating and exhausting simultaneously.
You know,
you guys know what it's like when you're writing and you just
time traveling.
Right.
I've said this before, I just absolutely sometimes hate writing, but I love it so much I'm never gonna stop doing it. Like I love having finished a book. I hate ending a book, you know, and it's right. just you know, I feel like a basket case, and it takes me a while to recover. I even tell people after I'm done, just be gentle with me. I'm gonna still be a basket case. But you know, the other thing that occurs to me, that what you're talking about, and even the name Noetics, I mean, really appropriate, is if I kind of play, we kind of play with that Noah metaphor. Essentially, what you're doing is you're crafting this space where all of this knowledge that has come before can be taken with us, but it's also a community. And with World Poetry Open Mic, my radio show, we've really spent a lot of time crafting the community and putting a lot of investment into that. And I understand how big of a piece that's going to be for Noetic. And I really applaud you for saying, I don't know. We have to see what this is, because that is 100% the right attitude.
Well, yeah, that was why I was so delighted when I found out that there was the archaic definition of Noetic relating to Noah, because it does feels like I've been taking all the intellectual animals and gathering them on a
battle. Totally.
And please send your people to my arc. I would love for as many people as possible
yes, all right.
to my arc.
But before we go on any further, Luke, tell us where we go to get the app. Give us all the details.
You just go to the App Store on your iPhone or to Google Play if you have a Droid, and search Noetic. It's like poetic, but with an N. Or you can go to noetic.online to create an account.
Okay.
It's that simple.
And, you know, on YouTube, you can get the tutorials as well to go and see individual ones, right?
Well, so the stuff that I have available on YouTube and SoundCloud and the podcasting app, like you guys are using to disseminate this, that's like that's where all the conversations that I've done in the process of building this, that's where those are. That's kind of like the bait to get everybody into the platform here.
Right. So
in addition to all of those things that are on the YouTube channel, which is just Noetic, and I believe it's the same for SoundCloud. In addition to all that, you know, when I first started out, like I didn't know anything about audio engineering. I didn't know anything about like Google Hangouts. It's been a real trial and error thing. So the real high quality audio books that I've been making for the past 2 years, all of that dwells on the Noetic platform exclusively. So, you know, Cliff and I may have a conversation about Whitman or something like that up on the YouTube channel, but like the academic articles that I have done recitations of, like into a nice microphone and on Pro Tools that, you know, could give other audiobook companies that are much bigger, that are worth billions of dollars, a run for their money.
Right.
Those all exist exclusively on Noetic.online or on the Noetic app. And so the way that it works is that you can access these different audiobooks and conversations, download them to the cache that you have within the platform. It's analogous to how Audible and YouTube Red and how services like that work. And right now it's free. Everything is free, and I would love to keep it as free as possible for as long as possible. But all of that is predicated on people who are listening to this right now downloading it and telling everyone they know. Because if you don't do that, I don't think I can do anything but become a janitor. So please.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I'm destined to do the Goodwill Hunting scenario if this fails.
He whispers in the hallway, that guy, he created an app once that was supposed to...
he talks to himself and cleans the toilets and solves complex math equations and turns down jobs at NSA.
You know,
He used to be a respected academic.
I, you know, it's funny though. I so can completely resonate with that idea, because there's this stuff where it's like, you and all three of us, I think, we go after who we feel that we're called to be in the best version of ourselves. How can we give the most value to the world in what we're doing? And it's kind of like, well, I hope this works, because if it doesn't, I'm completely screwed. Like, I'm just like, it's, you know?
Well, yeah, I always thought I could kind of fall back on being like a regular teacher, but
sure.
I think it's this or nothing for me now. Well, I may have unearthed a little too much.
And I mean, that sentiment is either this or nothing. I mean, I don't mean to be, you know, coming around back to the mundane as far as the business aspect of things, but I have seen, I mean, I guess in my limited scope, I've never had a conversation with somebody who has started a business that did not say something like, it was this or nothing. Again, back to that sacrifice, back to that dedication. It's this thing or nothing. Because if you have a plan B, whether it's with a personal relationship or I think business, you're not going to give it all of that. I think the fear is more than a Friends episode, you know? It does.
Oh, I'm totally desperate. What necessity is the mother of invention?
Yep.
I can.
It would be nice to get paid for my invention.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, and that is, I think the thing that's kind of cool about what we're talking about is, I mean, you're creating something that's big. It's a really big idea. And I love people who are pursuing big ideas. To me, those are the people I want to hang around, because that's the kind of people I aspire to be as well. But it is not, it reminds me of, you know, I had cancer when I was a young kid, and I remember talking to my mother years later. She was going through breast cancer, and she said, you know, and she was talking to me because she knew that I knew. She said, you know, people use the word like, you know, you're so brave, you know, you're so courageous, you're a hero going through this. She goes, I got to tell you, I don't feel brave right now at all. And I said, that's the secret. People say the word brave, just like people with entrepreneurship or whatever say, wow, it's, you know, it's so cool that you're able to do this. What they don't see is that the real game is at 3 a.m. when you're grinding it out. And it is just, it's just work, and you're desperate, and it's painful, and you're trying, and you're doing the work that no one else will do because you care that much about the people you're trying to build something for. I can really respect that. And I think all of us on this call can say that we've experienced that kind of thing as well.
Amen.
Yeah. If I can ask you guys a question, and Amade, since I think both of you are probably a little bit more plugged into the intellectual zeitgeist than I am. Like and both of you have had some time to poke around on the Noetic app. What sort of things would you like to see? What sort of things would you like to see more of, or what do you think people want right now? Because I know that my personal interests are very narrow. Sure. What would make you all and other individuals by extension more forceful advocates about what I'm building here, so that we can all be happy together, where we get better ways of disseminating information, more helpful academic tools on the horizon, better social media. How can I help people in their scenarios so that they help me? What feedback can you guys give me?
Cliff, you want to go first?
With me, it's what got me interested in bigger ideas from Jump Street was my freshman year in college, philosophy 101, when he went through great pains to show why these thinkers from long ago are topical today. Because my problem, as with a lot of people, with me, it was with math. Like, I'm never going to use algebra in a McDonald's drive-thru. Why do I need to learn this stuff? That kind of was the same way with, all right, well, I can appreciate this guy, but he lived so long ago. How could what he said have anything to do with what we have now with helicopters and computers and bubblegum? And so with me, my suggestion would be to have, like, overview, maybe the, like, but combined with the same idea that I see on YouTube so much with, like, videos that are no longer, not, you know, recordings that are no longer than 5 or 10 minutes that give direct, immediate examples of great thinkers and how that shaped what we're doing today to eliminate that whole, the barrier of this is not important anymore.
I think that's a really, really wise insight. And the fact of the matter is that these ideas from 2,500 years ago direct our lives in such profound ways that are unfathomable to the average individual.
Right.
And in fact, if I were to speak to that, the thing that I'm concerned about speaking to that is that I'm not sure. Sometimes I worry if people are ready for that, you know?
But I mean, would they ever be if not now? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, that's I understand the hesitancy too, as much as I can, you know, but if not now, my fear is nefarious as it's going to sound. My fear is that somebody else will do it with the wrong ends in mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, more power to them. I mean, I'd like to see someone do it better than I have. And the thing is, I'm pretty sure I've come out a better man. So even if they do it for nefarious purposes, they may, who knows, maybe they'll find Jesus Christ. even if they're like, I'm going to beat Luke Johnson to the punch. Oh, I got my soul saved in the process. Good job, bro.
It's like it's all working out in the long run anyway. You know, one thing to answer your question kind of from the zeitgeist perspective, I know that there is such a huge push right now, and there has been for a couple of years, to very practical ancient philosophy. So, I mean, Stoicism is like this huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
But I also think that coming off of Stoicism, I believe that probably like the next step, and this, I could be wrong on this, but I think the next step is when you start getting into the existentialism. I think that that's going to actually start picking up quite a bit more again. I feel like, starting with, you know, Nietzsche and all that, I think there's an upsurge that's about to happen. Because I think once you have Stoicism is great. But after a few years, the people who really get into that are still to practice that kind of idea, but they're continually trying to grow. The people who are really into this are continually wanting to grow. And I think Stoicism, while an effective kind of, I guess the term is operating system to go by through life if you're running into things, I think that the motivation, that inspiration, the thing that reminds you to kind of take control of your own power in some way is going to be a really vital thing as well.
And we do have, I will say that there is a decent amount of Stoic material on Noetic already, like Marcus Aurelius and Epictetus and other
the big ones. Yeah. Okay.
But it is on my slate, and I have thought, you know, because I know like doesn't like Tim Ferriss and a bunch of other like big podcasters, like aren't they big advocates of Stoicism?
They kind of led the way in
it's
that.
Very
yeah.
Hot right.
Right.
Yeah, it's very hot right now. And I see a lot of people who are in their, you know, post grads that are in their 20s, they're in their first job, they're continuing to learn doing a podcast, and they keep up an interest in their education through Stoicism. So it's been on my list of things to do to create a whole module on Stoicism. And I think I just finished this one on Hinduism, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll damn you, Amadeus. I was going to take a day off. I was going to take a day off and work purely on business things and not create any educational content. But I know now, because of what you just said, I'm going to wake up first thing in the morning and start building that Stoicism.
Well, I hope it is really successful for you.
So I'm curious. I'm curious as to why you think the we have lots of existentialism stuff. That's actually, because my background is in Kierkegaard. And I highly recommend, if your audience is not familiar with Kierkegaard, that was a big part in my personal intellectual renaissance, was the thinker Soren Kierkegaard, and what got me into philosophy in the first place with Nietzsche. What is it that you think, what do you think, how is that gear shift happening between people who've taken this interest in Stoicism that's been laid down by popular intellectuals and shifting into that existential? What's directing that in the zeitgeist, in your opinion?
Well, and you know, it's much more of an intuition, and I think kind of a feeling from the things that I hear, the writings that I see. I mean, I really try to fill myself up with other people's writings and things consistently, because, you know, I do a podcast episode almost every day. I do a lot of different things. And one of the things that I kind of pick up is that we live in a world, and especially like you said, you just came onto Facebook, so you saw a lot of anxiety and emotionally driven arguments and just things being put out there. We live in an age where our anxiety is basically continually being attempted to be triggered because that's what keeps our attention, you know, through media or whatever. I feel like Stoicism in many ways was a reaction to that, saying, okay, how do I get control over how do I feel, you know, how I feel throughout my day and my life? How do I get control over that? Well, I think once you have control over that, what's next? And I think for me, where existentialism started kind of coming into play was when I started thinking, okay, great. But what is possible for me? What am I made of? What is my purpose here in a deeper sense? And that's where I started grabbing onto things like, you know, Nietzsche in my earlier days and then moving on through. So maybe it's more of a sense that I feel like people are really going to be looking for and moving towards those deeper questions. I think they're already starting to do it, but they're kind of It's kind of like saying, I don't see anyone going to Stoicism saying, how am I, you know, why am I here? What I'm saying, they're saying Stoicism is, how do I cope? How do I deal with, you know?
If I can parrot it back, what you just said, the world is so chaotic and people are so driven by emotion and vitriol that the younger learners are interested in some sort of self-mastery.
Yes.
So that they don't get swept up in it. And then once they sort of can have some sort of control over their own emotions and a stable worldview, that they can then go deeper and ask teleological, metaphysical questions.
I think that out of this, I mean, you look at the tools that we have now. I mean, really, I mean, you were a musician, you know this. If we go back 20 years, it's a different world, man. I mean, the stuff that I started recording with and the stuff I started working with bears zero resemblance to the stuff I'm working with now. And if I had the tools that I had now, you know, it would have been a totally different story. So I think I know you can recognize this. So the thing is we have this amazing skill, you know, tool set in front of us now, and it's coming at us nonstop. Well, now what can we do with it? Once we've developed this kind of mastery, now it's time to, like you're doing, find a way to channel what God is calling us to do or however someone sees it. And then how do we live in and create a better world or put something into motion instead of just sitting there and just consuming all the time?
Well, and that's my take. You know, I think like the premise for Facebook, right, was to put the social aspect of college on your computer or on your phone. And the way that I look at Noetic, well, if Facebook does the social aspect, we're going to do the intellectual. No one's done that yet, to my end. And so I often joke, I probably should get this trademark, is that Noetic, it's like college for your phone or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? We can do that now, you know?
Yeah.
We can do that now. I'm not really trying to create a massive open online university where with certificates and degrees and stuff like that. I'm open to that maybe one day, but yeah, I gotta get through the next 6 months. I gotta approve this concept. And I want to let you know, I'm at like 18% on my phone.
We're at a good place.
I think we're at a really good place. So what I'll do is I might take that cut that little part right out here. And then what we can do is do you want to just end it here? So I'll ask you a question like, is there, you know, you've already made a request, but I'll just do it real quick and it'll be easy to answer. So give me 1 second. All right, Luke, I know we're running out of time and thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Really, really appreciate that. And it's been great stuff. So I know you've been asking people to join the app, to sign up. Is there another ask or do you want to just reiterate your ask to the listeners of the show before we close it?
I mean, feedback is always good. In addition to downloading it and to tell, you know, everyone that this resource exists and how helpful it is, whether you're trying to have an advantage and, you know, graduate in honors, or if you fell behind in your classwork and you're trying to catch up, whatever way that it helps you, or if you're a teacher and you found that you were able to assemble your lesson plans in a more economic and efficient manner, and letting both teachers and students know about it. The biggest thing is get in touch with me and let me know what's lacking. Let me know what you need in order to be a more effective learner and to be a more effective educator. And like earlier, I asked both of you what you would like to see more on the platform. Cliff said, you know, contemporary summarizations that show how these intellectual ideas to day-to-day life. And you said, you know, Stoicism transitioning into existentialism. I will take that and internalize it and make it happen. So I really do listen to feedback. I don't like people to kind of say, oh, nitpick and do this and do that. But these big ideas like you're giving me, I welcome those all day long. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just give me some constructive criticism on how to better serve you, because I'm really here to serve you.
Outstanding.
That's fantastic. Luke, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man. And I will, of course, put links to everything that you're doing in the show notes of the show. So if anybody wants to, they can just go down, click right through and get to Noetic and sign up. Once again.
Well, yeah, I was going to say,
go ahead.
I could talk to you guys for hours. And if you ever want to do this again, this was such a lovely experience talking to you both. Do some permutation. Want to talk about a philosophical subject, a literary subject. I know it was kind of off the cuff and spot on today with show notes, but if you want to do something a little more focused sometime and maybe something that's that dovetails to your interests, Amade or Cliff, sure. I'm happy to come back on anytime. This was a totally lovely experience.
We'll definitely gonna do it again. You took the words out of my mouth.
Beautiful, yep. Man.
We'll do it again.
Both Clifford Brooks and myself want to say thank you for spending this time with us. We hope you found something that inspires you and that you can add to your own life. We both would also like to thank Luke Johnson for joining us for this interview. You can find Noetic at noetic.online or by looking up Noetic in your favorite app store. The music for this episode was created by the fantastic Justin Johnson. You can find him at justinjohnsonlive.com. We invite you to join us for our next episode. Bring your dreams and your creative ideas with you. It's our aim to help you get the tools and perspectives you need to help make them a reality. Until we meet again.